This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Matic Jabber.
And I'm Barbara Ramirez. Tonight, we join in the programming for the KUNM Fall Pledge Drive. As you listen, we encourage you to make your contributions online at KUNM.org and support this station and our youth-produced programming.
That's right. This evening, we are happy to bring you New Mexican youth who are organizing for climate change and using innovative ways to address waste in the fashion industry.
We will speak to Olivia Gonzalez and Vivian McCullough, two youth organizers of the upcoming Global Climate Strike Albuquerque.
We will also hear from Jakia Fuller, who shares about upcycling sustainable fashion, and don't miss our community calendar.
Before we start this hour, we want to remind you that this program is broadcast on stolen indigenous land.
We have some great music specially selected by our youth producers, starting with What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong, chosen by our very own Zan Dixon.
What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah.
This September 20th, one of the largest movements on climate change is happening across the world. More than 150 countries are participating in the Global Climate Strike movement. And New Mexico will also be participating.
Now, GJ youth producer Junko Featherston speaks with Olivia Gonzalez and Vivian McCullough of the Global Climate Strike Albuquerque.
This is Junko Featherston with Generation Justice, and I am speaking with Olivia Gonzalez and Vivian McCullough, two of the organizers of the Climate Strike March and Rally in Albuquerque happening on September 20th. Olivia Gonzalez is 15 and started to get involved in this movement when speaking at city council meetings about banning plastic bags. Vivian McCullough is a high school senior and an active social justice advocate who co-founded her school's environmental club and helped organize a protest. It's great to have you both be here with us today. Welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you.
So I'll start with you, Olivia. Please share more about yourself.
So I'm 15 and I go to the Public Academy for Performing Arts. And I originally got involved with this movement when I started going to city council meetings and speaking in protest of plastic bags and trying to get them banned. And then it just kind of went from there. And now I'm working with the New Mexico Climate Strike for our September 20th strike.
Thank you so much, Olivia. Vivian, please share more about yourself.
So I'm a senior at Sandia High School, and last year I first got involved in activism by joining 350 New Mexico as an intern, and then from there I kind of started working with Fight for Our Lives on their previous climate strike in May, and I've just been kind of working with both groups since.
Thank you so much, Vivian. So why did the organizers of Fight for Our Lives decide to organize around climate change? Olivia, you can go first.
I think part of it is just that it's such a pressing issue right now, and they already had kind of such a platform set up that it was a little bit easier for them to get started and just really bring attention to such an important issue.
Vivian, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll say that since this is really an issue that's pressing because we don't have a lot of time, now is really the time for everybody to start getting involved, and so they started mobilizing.
Going off of that, what first got you interested in our changing climate?
So I'd always been interested in environmentalism, but I kind of assumed that, you know, it was something that I could deal with later, something I couldn't really do as a young person. And then the United Nations released that report saying that we have 10 years to change everything or we won't be able to stop climate change. And that was when I realized we really need to start working. So I did an internship, and it kind of went from there.
Thank you, Vivian. Olivia, what first got you interested in our changing climate?
People always told me that my generation were going to be the ones that needed to save the world, and, like, we had to save the planet. And I never really believed them. I just always believed that we'd have a solution by the time I grew up. And even then, I believed that if I was to say, like, be the generation, then it wouldn't be till I was, like, 25, 30 at the earliest. And it was just, like, finally I realized, like, wow, we actually have to do something about it, and we have to do it now, because there won't be, like, I won't be 25 and 30. I won't be able to do anything by that time, and neither will any of us.
Thank you, Olivia. I think as young people, it's our right to have a future. I personally want to experience a full life on Earth. It's almost not fair that we don't have that opportunity, and we work so hard.
Definitely.
It.
I agree. I always, generations before us, I say, we'll die of old age and of, you know, health problems, and we're going to die of wildfires and flash flooding and hurricanes and just all these things that generations before us didn't even have to worry about.
Thank you for your insight. So tell us about what is planned for the global climate strike in Albuquerque.
So on September 20th, we're going to have students from all over the city walk out at around noon, and they're going to make their way to Robinson Park, which is downtown on Copper and Central. We're going to hold a rally at Robinson Park, and there's going to be student speakers and artists and musicians and poets, and then we're going to walk to the congressional offices and hold a rally there. And then after we walk back, there's going to be like a climate fair with food trucks and all kinds of things. It's going to be from 12 to 5:30. You can go down there and get involved.
Thank you, Vivian. So, Olivia, what if someone is unable to skip school? Will they still be able to participate in the strike?
Definitely. We have a whole week of events planned. So we have various, like, we have the fair, of course, which goes all day. We have Global Kirky will be doing a panel. We have bike rides and poetry slams and just ways that the community can really get involved, even if they can't be there the day of the strike.
So this is for Vivian. What is your message to parents and administrators with regard to youth walking out that afternoon?
I think that it's so important that people encourage the students to walk out. We've had amazing support from a lot of schools and parents. And I think that people should just realize that getting students involved in their community is the best way that we can kind of prepare for the future. And you can't teach that in school. The only way we can learn that is by doing it. So if you're supportive of your students walking out, that makes so much difference.
Mm-hmm. It's great that adults are involved as well. For Olivia, what events or people will be there at the Global Climate Strikes?
So we're going to have student speakers from most of the major high schools. And then Mayor Keller is also going to be speaking a little bit. And we're also going to have artists, musicians, and poets that will be performing in just throughout the whole strike.
Thank you, Olivia. Vivian, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, so I'm just going to list some of the schools that we have speaking there. We have Manzano, the Public Academy for Performing Arts, Sandia High School, the Native American Community Academy, CNM, Albuquerque High, La Cueva, and many others.
It's great that so many schools are involved.
It is.
So why is it so important that more people get involved with the climate strike here in New Mexico? Olivia, you can go first.
So part of it is because there's a ton of fracking that's been going on in the just for a long time. And this must end, and we have to protect the indigenous lands that are there, as well as just the fact just fracking is such a big thing. And our state, despite all the riches from this, none of the, like, no New Mexicans profit off of it. We're still, like, one of the lowest states, and we have very high poverty rates. And it's just important for people to get involved just because it's such a big thing here in New Mexico because we're directly influenced by it.
Yeah, thank you, Olivia. So, Vivian, why do you think it's so important that more people get involved with the climate strikes here in New Mexico?
I mean, we have such a beautiful state. We have amazing wildlife and landscapes. That's something that we need to protect because you don't really get that in many other places.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Olivia said, you know, we have to recognize that a lot of these things are directly impacting indigenous communities, and that's important that we need to keep that from happening in New Mexico.
Thank you, Vivian. What is the correlation between climate change and environmental injustices in the world?
So like we said, communities like indigenous communities, communities of color, low-income communities and disabled people are often the people who are most impacted by climate change. And I'll also add that, like, the people who are impacted by climate change tend to be people who can't get away from it. You know, low-income communities can't really move their lives away from droughts and floods and those kinds of things.
Thank you, Vivian. It's so great that you're bringing this awareness to this problem. Olivia, is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Just going off of what Vivian was saying, like, even if you aren't directly impacted by it, there are so many people that aren't, that are, and can't do anything about it. So if you're able to do something, then that's something that really matters and that you should really benefit from, or, you know, just try to get involved in a way.
Thank you, Olivia. So tell the viewers again about the details for the 20th.
So at 12 o'clock, then students across the city are going to walk out of their classrooms, and we are all going to meet at Robinson Park, which is on the corner of Copper and Central. From there, we're going to have Mayor Keller speak, along with student speakers and poets, performers, and artists. And then from there, we are going to walk to the congressional offices and try to speak to some people down there. And then we're going to walk back where we're going to be having a fair until 5 p.m.
Thank you, Olivia. Sounds like an eventful week. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add, Vivian?
Yeah, I just want to mention again all of the amazing events that we have going on. We have the strike and the climate action fair. We have Global Kirky, which is the music festival at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. There's going to be a junk jog where people can run and clean up trash in the bosque. We have there's going to be a picnic for vegans in the park where people can go and learn about veganism and all those things. It's going to be like a community bike ride and a poetry slam. There's so many awesome events that people from all over the community have planned for us.
Thank you so much, Vivian. Olivia, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think she focused on it pretty well. It's just a great that we have so many events available for people, because if you can't go to one, then, you know, there's many others available.
You guys are including, like, people from many different backgrounds to come and join.
Yeah.
We really tried to make it so that you can get involved. We actually, during the strike, there's going to be events going on at the park so that if you don't feel comfortable marching or if you have small children and you want to hang out at the park and eat food, you can do that. We really tried very hard to make it accessible to everybody because it's going to take everybody to combat this issue.
Thank you. So where can people get more information? Like, is there a website?
So Fight for Our Lives has a website. That's FFOL.org. You can find a lot of information there. There's also on, like, social media.
And then we also have a new website called ClimateStrikeABQ.org.
Thank you so much.
You can get a lot of information there.
Thank you, Olivia Gonzalez and Vivian McCullough. For Generation Justice, I'm Junko Featherston.
Thank you, Olivia and Vivian, for taking the time to be here with us and for taking action about climate change.
Thank you. It really means a lot that you're partnering with us. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Olivia and Vivian, for the amazing organizing. Now, in honor of your work, we will hear Mother Earth by Neil Young and the band Crazy Horse, followed by 60 Flemish artists and children performing Sing for the Earth, a song selected by youth producer Carlos Martinez.
Once more laid down by the hungry hand, how long can you give and not receive?
Make it greener.
Make it greener.
Make it cleaner.
Make it cleaner.
Make it last. Make it fast and do it now.
Jakia Fuller is a longtime Generation Justice member. She is an interdisciplinary visual artist who focuses on upcycled clothing, among other things.
implementing adventure into everyday life has been a source of inspiration for her upcycled fashion by turning clothes she did not wear into something new.
Now, my co-host, Barbara Ramirez, speaks with Jakia Fuller about upcycling and her journey into the fashion world.
This is Barbara Ramirez with Generation Justice, and I am speaking with longtime DJ member and upcycle queen, Jakia Fuller. Jakia, welcome back to Generation Justice. Will you please tell us more about yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for having me back at GJ. My name is Jakia Fuller. I'm an interdisciplinary visual artist whose work focuses on like introspection, and I express myself through like clothing design, art, and multimedia practices. I live here in New Mexico, Rio Rancho, Albuquerque area, and I've been a part of GJ for about, I want to say 5 years. I think 5 years.
Tell us about upcycled fashion and how you became involved.
How I first got involved in upcycled fashion, it was like more of a trial and error type basis, because like it took me a while to realize that I actually wanted to do like fashion design. It took me a while to like just accept that. But as a student, my finances weren't really there for me to actually like go out and buy like the, you know, the most expensive or like top notch like materials or fabric or supplies. And so I was like, you know, in my room, and I'm just like, okay, what do I have that I can actually like use to make sure that I'm practicing, because I don't have like a formal like education in like fashion design and sewing. And so like I had a lot of old clothes that I didn't want to wear anymore, but I'm like, fabric is fabric. It's like in still pretty good condition. So I decided like, let's go ahead and like turn this into something that I can like actually use, or just for me to actually practice like my skills. So that's how I got involved with like upcycling. So upcycling is like part of sustainable fashion. Like right now, that's a really huge trendy thing. It's like sustainability is like trendy like worldwide. So like, you know, the saying like fashion, it follows food, because like everyone's in this whole like sustainable like green movement for food. So like now it's like making its way through like the other facets of like our everyday lives. And so that includes fashion. So upcycling is a method to be sustainable, because like you're using fabric, like you're using materials and like turning it to something new, like you're repurposing it. You're not introducing like more waste into the system, like into like the supply chain. You're actually like utilizing what's already there, and you're turning it to something that people want to use. And so there's like two types of like upcycling. There's like your post-consumer textile waste, which is something that I specialize in, which is utilizing like your clothes that you don't wear anymore, or like clothes that people donate that they don't want to wear anymore, but it's still in good condition. So I'm like, I take that and I turn it into something, like make modifications to it, or I'll turn it into something like totally different. The other type of like upcycling, which is like mainly where people get leftover like fabric or like unused fabric from like mills or factories or from brands that they're not using anymore. And it's like pretty good quality stuff, but that's like the other end or the other spectrum of upcycling. So yeah.
Why is it important that clothing be sustainable?
Everyone knows, like, we wear clothes. Like, it's not okay for us to be walking around and be like, no clothes. But when you buy something, I know personally for me, like, I'm making an investment, because, like, you work hard for your money. Like, you spend a lot of, like, time and effort to, like, to make the money that you have. When you're buying stuff, you want to make sure, like, what you're buying is an investment. You don't want to, like, buy something that's not meant to last. And that's another thing when it comes to like sustainable fashion, or just like being sustainable. Like, we need to start designing more in a way that we're building clothes that last. We're not building, like, we're not creating stuff that's only meant to last a season, because that doesn't make any sense. You're just making more waste. You should be making sure it's like more of a circular model, where it's just like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and create this. The end product's a t-shirt, but like once that no one gets any more use out of that t-shirt, what else can you do with it? Whether that be like you turn it into a bag, or if that ends up like, you know, like a reusable shopping bag, or like you turn it into something else, or giving that shirt to someone else who you would know would use it or benefit from it. But it's just good for your clothing to be sustainable, because you want stuff that's going to last a long time. Like, nothing's meant to last forever, and you shouldn't expect it to, but you should at least expect, like, the clothing that you're going to wear, it's not going to be, like, harmful to your body, that it's, like, you know, meant to be worn at least 10 to 15 different times. You should just care about, like, what you're putting on your body. Like, if you care about, like, the food you eat, you should care about what you're putting on your body. And that also includes, like, cosmetics, but that's another conversation for another day. But, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Tell us about the Remnant Design Co.
So Remnant Design Co. is going to be an interdisciplinary space, an ethical and sustainable design lifestyle brand, an interactive space, and tea/coffee shop type of situation going on. And so it's like creates an adventure experience where the customer's life has become an adventure where they can stock up on supplies, inspiration, nourishment, and discovery. And so adventure serves as the backbone for Remnant Design Co., ensuring that your everyday has a little sense of adventure, even if your day-to-day is far from it. But another thing that I really like about Remnant Design Co. that I'm working on is that I want to like showcase or feature like creatives of color. So like when I'm talking about creatives, I'm talking about like makers, like designers, artists, like musicians, like everyone who's like a creative of color. Like I want to give them the opportunity and space to like showcase and share their work with the local community. Because too often, like when it comes to like sustainability and like ethical practices, we're always seen as like the people who make the products instead of the people that are actually like receiving payment and proper dues for like the work we do. And so I really want to focus on making sure like the brands and like the creatives I'm working with are able to have that opportunity. And also it will serve as like a directory for people to be all like, oh, I want to work with like a designer or like a woman of color, like illustrator who does this type of work. I'm like, here's our directory and you can like find out people and like where they're from. And so I really want to focus on like that and also focus on like bringing in local talent too, because like there's a lot of awesome stuff that's going on in New Mexico, like with local artists. Not all of them are like people of color, but I also want to give them the opportunity too, because like New Mexico does have a lot to offer, like has a lot of creatives that are doing some great stuff. So that's kind of, long story short, what Remnant Design Co. is going to be. And yeah.
Well, of course, that's so interesting. As a woman of color, what does it mean to you to be creating your own designs and starting your own line of clothing?
It's a huge thing just in like sustainable like fashion. I like to marry the two, like sustainable and ethical, because like there's no point in your stuff being sustainable if you're not having like ethical practices. But with a lot of brands nowadays, a lot of people have like that white savior complex. They're like, okay, we're going to be sustainable and ethical and we're going to go to this like random village or this random like country, that developing country, and we're going to give them work. You know, we're going to like come in and like help them. And I'm just like, that's all fine and dandy. And that's like, I'm not saying, not trying to, you know, devalue their work, because that is necessary. And I think that's great that they're providing that work for people. But too often, like a lot of like, just as people of color and also as a woman of color, like I know we create a lot of like cool, nifty things, but we're not really given a lot of credit for it. I know this is a huge thing. Black women, like when it comes to like a lot of the huge like designer brands, like huge hoop earrings and all this other stuff, it's seen as like ghetto and other things like that. But once a really huge like posh brand like decides to do it, everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's like really creative, that's fantastic. I'm just like, people have been doing that for like 20, 30s of years, like be mindful, or like at least give credit where credit's due. There are a lot of like black fashion designers, but there aren't that many that are being talked about. I know now there are a lot of people who are like making an effort to make sure that they're highlighting like, you know, the different black designers in the industry. But for me, it's just important to make sure I'm like, okay, I know this is what I want to do. I want to make sure that I'm representing myself in that way. And also like serve as inspiration to other people that, you know what, you can create your own work, and it's okay that it's not what people would expect for me to create as like a black woman, because most people would be like, oh, she's gonna create streetwear, and I'm just like, my stuff's not really streetwear. Like I really like to do like clean lines and geometric stuff. That's like where I kind of go with my work. I would say it's like really important, because I'm just like, this is what I'm called to do, this is what I want to do, so I want to make sure that I'm doing it. I don't know if that answers the question.
Of course, yes, it does. What are some of the obstacles you have faced in this process, and how have you overcome them?
Wow, there's been a lot of obstacles. Because, like, we're all, like, taught and kind of trained in a way that you have to, like, go to school, get an education, go to university. And once you go to university and get your degree in this field, you're going to get a job in this field. And that's the only way that that's valid. And that's, like, the only way you're going to be, like, okay, they can do this job because they got a degree in it. I was like that for a while, where I was like, I have to go to design school for me to actually become a designer. And, you know, I got into the schools I wanted to get into. I got into them all, and I was like, yay. But it all came down to, like, finances, because education's expensive. In the United States, it's, like, so expensive, it doesn't make any sense. For, like, design schools, it's, like, even more expensive, like, $60,000 a year and stuff, and that's not including, like, room and board and stuff. And so, like, for the longest time, that was one of my huge obstacles, because I never thought that I would be seen as, like, an authentic designer because I didn't have the formal education, or, like, I don't have, like, the internships and stuff like that, because I lived in New Mexico, because there aren't that many, like, actual local brands here that you can actually get an internship with if you're interested in fashion and stuff. So I was like, there's no way for me to actually do this because, like, I don't have those things accessible to me. But the beautiful thing about living in today's age is that we have the internet. and I got good old, like, hard work and, like, dedication. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to create this work. This is the best work that I can create. If you like it, cool. If you don't, it's not for you, and that's okay, because not everything is meant for everybody.
That's awesome. So where can people go to find your designs?
Oh, okay. You can go on Instagram. You can follow me at j.arifuller, and that has, like, all my stuff. Or you can go to Remnant Design Co. on Instagram, and that has, like, some of my images and stuff like that. I'm still, like, curating this and what that process looks like and what it's going to look like, so you can go there. But I also have my website, and it's, like, j.arifuller at WordPress or something like that. You can check me out there. I would say that's where you can find me. So there's a brand that I'm working with locally. It's called Neo Thread Co. And she actually does, like, upcycling. She's, like, an upcycle brand that's here in town. So I'm just, like, totally check her out. It's always great to shop local. So that's another resource for you. So there you go.
What are the resources that people can use to learn more about the clothes they buy and how to find upcycled fashion?
If you are interested in learning more about, like, sustainable fashion and you don't really know where to look, I would say definitely check out Conscious Chatter. It's, like, a good podcast. Like, she, like, helped me in understanding about, like, what's going on in the sustainable fashion industry. So you can just, like, a good catch-all, like, just a good learning moment. But there's, like, a lot of people now who are really trying to, like, educate themselves about sustainability and also just, like, sustainable fashion. So you can even do a Google search, and there's, like, a lot of resources that are out there. Just be mindful for, like, the information that you're consuming. There is one popular fact that people like to throw around in the fashion industry is that fashion is, like, the number two, like, most polluting, like, industry in the world after oil. I'm just like, that's not necessarily true. Like, you need to be mindful because there's no way to truly measure that. But I would say, like, just change your language to saying, like, fashion is one of the most polluting industries. And another thing is, like, to be more sustainable, like, sometimes we have to, like, meet people where they're at. I know I'm a student, or, like, I'm a young person, you're a student. It's not realistic or affordable or sustainable for you to go ahead and buy, like, sustainable clothes that's made out of, like, natural fibers and stuff like that. It's not, like, not affordable. And that's another issue. Like, a lot of sustainable fashion isn't really affordable or accessible to, like, a lot of people. It's, like, for a specific demographic. So, like, if you need to go buy clothes at H&M because that's what you can afford, that's okay. Where it gets bad is that you buy this shirt and you only wear it twice. That's the issue. Like, I have stuff from H&M and from my Forever 21 days where I'm just like, I've had it for, like, over 8 years. And I'm just like, that's more sustainable than me, like, throwing all my old clothes out to, like, buy a whole new wardrobe. Like, that's not sustainable. And also, like, just being mindful with your purchases. I'm just like, okay, when you go shopping, you're just like, okay, is this something that I want right now? Buy, like, pieces that you're willing to invest in. If you're not able to, like, spend $50 on, like, a t-shirt, that's fine. What are you willing to spend, like, a lot of money on? If you want to buy you, like, a good sturdy, like, winter coat, buy you a sustainable, like, you know, like, be sustainable in that thinking of, like, I want to make sure it's well made. And, you know, like, this $200 coat, like, yeah, it's $200, but I'm just like, I know for a fact I'm going to get a lot of use out of it. I know that it's actually, it's well made and it's, like, ethical and stuff like that. Then that's more sustainable than you, like, buying a lot of sustainable brands and you're just like, I'm not going to wear this shirt. That doesn't make any sense. And then also, I would say, like, when it comes to, you, like, your care for your clothing, a lot of the waste comes from, like, the consumer end, so on our end. Because, like, yeah, like, a lot of stuff, like, with the dyes and everything in the production process, that has a lot of waste to it. But, like, when you wash your shirt, like, after every use, that's not good for the environment. Like, you can probably get away with, like, wearing your jeans and stuff like that for, like, probably, like, 5 to 10 uses. Clothes aren't meant to be washed after everywhere. Like, you can totally, like, spot check it, like, spot clean it, or you can, like, air it out, or you can put it in the freezer for older. You can do, like, vodka and, like, or, like, vinegar to, like, you know, like, help out with, like, stains and stuff like that. And then also actually reading, like, the care instructions, you know, it's there for a reason. So, like, we also have to do our part too. We can't expect the brands to be, like, the ones that save us. And just, like, because when you go home, they can't make you, like, wash your clothes and wash your clothing in cold. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So just make sure that, you know, you're doing your part too. Like, read your care instructions.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
I would say, you know, thanks for having me on today.
Like, thank you for being here. Yeah. We're so proud of you and we're so happy that you are doing this. And we're happy that you're back with Generation Justice.
Oh, thank you.
This was Barbara Ramirez with Generation Justice.
Thank you, Jakia, for being an inspiration for the fashion industry and being a role model for the youth across the world.
Thank you, Jakia. Again, if you would like to see Jakia's design and art, you can visit dayarifuller.com. In honor of Jakia's work for sustainable fashion for all people, here's Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone, followed by our community calendar. Our calendar hosts of the night are Junko Featherston and Zaid Alejandro Larquier Ziai.
Welcome back to Generation Justice. This week we have some amazing calendar events to share with you all. I'm Junko Featherston.
And I am Zaid Alejandro Larquier Ziai. Hey Junko, have you heard about the different traditional fairs going on this month?
No, can you tell me more?
Yes, there's one coming up called the Hawaiian Medicines and Healing Ways, and it's happening on Saturday, September 28th from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Oh yeah, I heard it will be at the Kalakapu Polynesian Dance School on 2500 San Mateo Place in Albuquerque.
In this class, Lahua Lopez will be talking about the La'au, Lapa'au, which are the medicines that the ancient ones developed to heal illnesses and alleviate suffering.
For more information, contact Native Hawaiian cultural anthropologist Lahua Lopez at 505-585-8473. Or email 884hua at gmail.com.
For our second event, we have the encore screening, The Eagle and the Condor, from Standing Rock with Love, movie and fundraiser.
That's right. This event will be on Saturday, September 14th at 2 p.m. at the Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice.
For more information, contact 505-268-9557.
Next is an exciting opportunity right here at Generation Justice.
That's right. We are still accepting applications for the Cultivating Leaders Practicum program.
This practicum is for young adults between the ages of 23 and 29, for recent college graduates or near graduates.
Participants get training in race equity, narrative shift, leadership development, early childhood development, and so much more.
If anyone is interested in this 16-month practicum, they should email admin@generationjustice.org or call 505-277-1831.
As you know, the KUNM Fall Fundraiser is happening now. We would like to take a moment to thank you for donating to this community radio station.
That's right. With your donation, the youth producers of Generation Justice have access to professional studios and equipment, where we can learn to create media that matters.
This is my first time on live radio, and I personally am very nervous, but also excited and glad to have an opportunity like this at Generation Justice. Generation Justice is one of the only groups in New Mexico that offers opportunities like these to youth like me.
It's so amazing that we have a program like this here in New Mexico. I thank KUNM for believing in the power that youth can harness. The experiences and memories I have formed here at Generation Justice are countless. So please take this moment to donate online at KUNM.org by clicking the big red donate button.
Don't miss your chance to support the station and to win the 2016 Volvo S60 T5. Now, in celebration of all the good events happening this month, here's September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We hope you've enjoyed this hour of climate action through organizing and fashion. We'd like to thank our guests, Olivia Gonzalez, Vivian McCullough, and Jakia Fuller.
Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Kiro Izuni and Roberta Rael. And thank you to Nicole Beatty, Jonathan Alonso, and Lily Lukau for production support. And thank you to our hosts, Junko Featherston, Zaid Alejandro Larquier Ziai, and our engineer, Zan Dixon.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We could not do this without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud and iTunes.
We're also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Con Alma Health Foundation. And of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. I'm Malik Jabber.
And I'm Barbara Ramirez, coming up on KUNM Spoken Word. So stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Good night.